14 by-elections were held yesterday. Corné Mulder from the Freedom Front is going to help us to understand those results. But there's a heck of a lot going on in politics at the moment. We love talking to him to get an insider's view on exactly what the lay of the land is for all the political parties, not just his own. Thanks for joining us, Corné. Those results have hardly been inked, and I guess the most important of them is in Tshwane, Ward 92. And there, the Democratic Alliance faced a strong opposition, not from yourselves, though, and I think there's a story in that itself. Won the ward from 34% in the 2021 election to 59% this time round. Now, there's a lot going on in Tshwane, and I'd love to get your insight on that, but why did the Freedom Front Plus and Action SA, who are supposedly now going to be causing trouble for the DA in the Tshwane municipal metro, did not contest this Ward 92?
Yes, well, the fact of the matter is, thank you for the opportunity. And the reality is that so closely after the national election, the provincial elections, parties are still evaluating to a certain extent some of these general results and also repositioning themselves going forward. We decided on a tactical basis not to participate in that election because for the simple reason, our decision was based on the fact that we are committed to the coalition agreement in Tshwane, and we don't want to create a situation where we may lose a ward that is currently part of the coalition grouping as such. And the party in the past has done so in the Western Cape, for example, where we did not participate. We even actively in those instances asked our supporters to vote for the opposition candidate or the coalition candidate. So in this instance, we did not want to divide the vote in Tshwane. So the DA retained the vote, and because of that, with a larger majority, but it assisted to keep the coalition safe.
So what is going on with that coalition in Tshwane? We know there is a vote of no confidence in Cillie O'Brink, the mayor. He seems to have done a good job up to now. Why would, just unpack it for us, because there are all kinds of confusing reports.
Yes, I think one must understand, and first to start off with a bigger picture, the results of the 29th of May 2024, which created this government of national unity, as far as I'm concerned, has changed everything. And the first question that came out of that reality, that suddenly now we don't have one dominating party anymore, that we have now a situation with a government of national unity. The basic question immediately was, is that going to play out and be then further developed down to provincial level? Yes, it happened already in KZN. We all expected it would happen immediately in Gauteng. It has not happened yet in Gauteng. I have reason to believe that there are currently discussions between the DA and the ANC with regard to creating a government of provincial unity in Gauteng. And then the obvious question is, what about local level? And I predict that we will see that as a norm in 2 years' time after the 2026 elections. But the reality thrusted that upon us quite sooner. So as you are aware, the first government of local unity now does exist, and that is in Oudtshoorn in the Western Cape, where we do have a government of local unity. And it seems that the same kind of thing is now playing out in the metros in Gauteng. In Johannesburg, there is a kind of government of, to a certain extent, local unity. The DA and the Freedom Front Plus decided not to participate in that. But it seems to me that the same model may now come to Tshwane. And as you correctly pointed out, there's a motion of no confidence in the mayor for this Friday, for tomorrow. My prediction is that it will not go ahead, or that if it goes ahead, it will not succeed. But I don't think it will go ahead tomorrow. So the government won't fall tomorrow. But that does not mean that it could not happen at the next meeting.
But this is so interesting, because your friends in one part of the country might be on the other end of the bench in another part of the country. It's very confusing for voters.
It's confusing for ourselves as well. If you go into a coalition with parties right from the beginning, as we did in 2021, you go into a coalition with parties that you feel that you can align with in terms of certain broad principles, that you feel you've got certain things in common, that you've got more in common than that necessarily divide you, and then you find a path. And that's why we did succeed in 2021 to sign those coalition agreements with some parties, namely the Freedom Front Plus, the Democratic Alliance, Action SA, IFP, and mainly the ACDP. The question that arose then already at that stage was, how long are these coalitions going to last? Are we signing this agreement and the idea is that it should be for the full term of 5 years, 21 to 26? Or are these things just in the wind, temporary coming and going? Now, we've learned already one lesson from abroad, which we did not accommodate in 2021. If you look at what happens abroad, in Europe, for example, when a coalition agreement is signed, the parties commit themselves for the full term of 5 years regardless. In other words, even if the composition of the council changes because of some by-elections, and in our case, the proportional section cannot change, but the wards may change. We've seen that. It happened in George. There were three wards, good wards from the good party. Somehow, mysteriously, all three good councillors decide to resign on one specific day. A miracle. And then we've got three by-elections. The DA took two, the Patriotic Alliance took one, and suddenly the composition of the council changed. The DA now had a majority. They didn't need our four councillors anymore, and we were kicked out of that coalition. But in Europe, for example, there's an agreement from the beginning. Regardless if the composition in the council changes, the parties are committed and they stay in that coalition for the full term of 5 years. And I think that is something that we lack in South Africa. We will have to bring it in going into 2026. Because then the important thing is that the electorate knows that this government is the government for 5 years. The parties know that they are committed and they must make it work regardless if the composition changes. And it brings a lot of stability and it assists in terms of not having this to and fro all the time like we are seeing in Johannesburg at the moment. So that was the first thing. So when it started off in 2021, the question was, how long are these things going to last? The coalition agreement said that's for a term of 5 years, but we've now seen in practice that it's not the case. The second thing that concerns me is that some parties, the same parties that say they are committed to coalitions, don't shy away from just walking away from coalition agreements in the Western Cape. We've seen that happening, while the same party, and I'm talking about the Democratic Alliance, now wants to claim and want to reach back to the coalition agreement in Tswane and say, but we have to stick to the coalition agreement, when they address themselves towards Action SA. Now, with all due respect, you can't have it both ways. Either you remain committed to coalition agreements and you prove yourself to be a reliable coalition partner and you uphold the coalition agreements everywhere, but that's not the case. So if you look at Tswane at the moment, for whatever reason, it seems that Action SA is fed up and that they've had enough of this coalition and they will have to explain what, why, and when, and I don't know. They may have their reasons. So the ANC obviously sees this. So the ANC brought this motion of no confidence. And Action SA, if I understand correctly, I saw a statement that they issued yesterday made it clear that they're not necessarily going to support the motion of no confidence. They're not necessarily walking away from this coalition. But they've indicated that they've got serious problems and that they want to see that the coalition agreement is upheld in Tswane and they will most likely will have to need to have some discussions and see if that kind of disputes can be resolved.
Such good insight. Thank you, Corne. And it really makes a lot of sense that if you are going to be in coalition in a particular area, that you better stick with that. Because, for instance, we go to that Tshwane Ward 92. Had yourselves and Action SA gone in and split the vote, then yes, perhaps the DA wouldn't have won that ward. And exactly. I get what you say. However, there was a different decision taken in George where presumably they felt they'd win anyway.
Exactly. That's exactly basically what happened. And if I may say on a personal note, and that is why I think coalitions are at the moment are in trouble in South Africa. You've got the coalition agreements, and the coalition agreement creates certain structures that are quite clear. You've got a joint caucus, you've got a management committee, you've got an oversight group that meets if there are conflicts that cannot be resolved, etc. There are structures. Right from the beginning, there was a technical committee that does not form part of any of these structures. That technical committee was set up, and that technical committee created these coalitions and put them together in the first place in 2021. That technical committee, which I chaired, does no longer exist. At the point is that technical committee consisted of all the parties being represented, but the people in those committee and in that technical committee were senior people from the different political parties and who were people who were able to find one another and to make compromises. Let me just give you an example. I was the chair. We had Michael Beaumont, who plays a very important role within Action SA there. We had Thomas Walters there that played a pivotal role from the Democratic Alliance. We had some very important people like Alkwin Kubisi from the IFP. We had Raymond Carley and other peoples from the ACDP. That is where we slogged these things out. That committee no longer exists, and now it's up to the structures themselves to solve these things, and quite clearly they're not capable to do so, and that's why coalitions are falling apart, as my interpretation at the moment. There are reasons why that committee no longer exists.
Hmm. Warren Buffett says integrity is made up of three things: honesty, as we all know, trustworthiness, and reliability. From what I'm seeing of coalitions, there's not too much integrity in politics at the moment, because sure, people might be honest, but the reliability is certainly not there.
Yes, that's exactly the problem at the moment, and that is to the detriment of the public, it's to the detriment of the citizens in these towns and these municipalities, and it immediately have an impact on service delivery. Now, as I've said just now, the happenings of the 29th of May changed everything, whether we like it or not. Suddenly, the ANC is now prepared to come forward and to say, we are committed. We want to be part of coalitions. We want to make a deal. We want to better the lives of our citizens out there. And if you listen to what the president is saying quite constantly, he's referring to local government, because they realize on the local government level, they are failing. Coalitions are failing. You just now saw that only 35 councils received clean orders out of 257. It's quite clear that we've got chaos on local government level. So here you've got the ANC now, a weakened ANC that comes forward and says, we are prepared to cooperate. And then the ANC will tell you, you can ask them. They say, we don't understand, for example, that the Democratic Alliance is prepared to work with us on national level, but they want to keep us out of local government for their own purposes. Now, I know it's complicated, and I know there's a perception that the ANC just needs to be kept out everywhere, et cetera, et cetera. That's why when it came to Oudtshoorn, we said when that government fell, and there are reasons for that, and I've explained that in the previous interview, everybody was invited, the DA was invited, come together, play your role, let's form a government of local unity. They declined. And I'm seeing a exact playbook now playing out in the city of Tshwane. The motion will not succeed on Friday. But that does not mean if the conflict is not resolved within Tshwane between specifically Action SA and the DA, I see the same thing is going to play out, where a motion will come, the coalition will may collapse, the motion may succeed, and then we may have a situation where some party comes forward and say, let's form a government of local unity. The interesting thing is this, that the EFF so far has indicated they don't want to be part of these kind of arrangements, the same with MK. So that brings the other parties to the reality, and we will see how that develops. The problem that I think is happening at the moment is there's a strategy, and I can tell you what's happening in the Western Cape. It seems to me that some parties, for all reasons possible, wants to get out of coalitions. They don't want to be part of coalitions. They want to project themselves in their own individual right going forward to 2026. Why would that be? It could only be because they don't believe in coalitions, and they think by positioning themselves in this way, 2026 may give them such a strong majority that they don't need coalition governments and they can become a one-party government again. I think that's not going to happen. I think South Africa's moved beyond that, but I think there are still some parties that have not embraced the reality that is coming out of the 2024 election results.
I read an excellent piece by the economist J.P. Luntman after the election, where he said that coalition politics has arrived. He used the international example of dozens and dozens of countries who've got a similar proportional representation system to ours. And in two-thirds of those countries, at a national level, they work in coalitions. Two-thirds of those countries. And we've now joined those two-thirds of the countries. And his forecast was, we're not going back at that level. And if you take it one step further, what you're saying is that it should be trickling down, or at least going down to a local level where it really makes a lot of sense. But I guess it appears that there's some kicking back, particularly by the DA. However, there was, last time we spoke, it looked like you and the DA were going to be doing a Dricus du Plessis and getting it in a cage fight the way things were going. But we did see reports that the leader of the Freedom Front, Peter Groenewald, and John Steenhuisen of the DA had a meeting, and it does seem to have calmed the waters.
Yes. Let me just make one point before I respond to this. There was a time in South Africa where we had single or one-party governance in different structures, be that on national with the ANC, be it in provinces like KZN or in the Western Cape, and also in local government. That came to an end in 2021 when we started to see coalitions on local level. We've now seen coalitions in 2024 on national and provincial level, and it will continue. So we've got coalitions, as J.P. Landman correctly points out. However, it now developed one step further. We don't have just coalitions. We are now at the position where those coalitions have evolved into governments of unity, be that on whatever level, where people realize and say, is it a stable coalition when you can muster 51% of the support and 49% of the people are excluded in governance? And as a matter of fact, they don't just not accept that. They do everything in their power to destabilize and to overthrow that government like we've seen in Johannesburg. Is that a good form of democracy? Is that really servicing the needs of the people? So now it's evolving one step further by saying we need to form governments of unity. And my interpretation is that some parties will embrace that immediately. We have embraced that. And other parties will kick in their heels, be very retrogressive, and try to go back to the good old days of no coalitions, one party alone. So that is what we are seeing happening at the moment. Then secondly, with regard to the Freedom Front Plus and the Democratic Alliance, you correctly point out that there has been that meeting between the leaders on national level. They've met, they've agreed to certain process that they will take and path that they will take to try and bring stability to the coalitions. Well, I support it, obviously. However, I've said right from the beginning, you must make a distinction in the Western Cape, and it's focused on the Western Cape, between two sets of councils. We were in 11 coalitions with the Democratic Alliance in the Western Cape. Four of them no longer exist. From my perspective, and I will give the facts if it need be, the DA broke those four coalition agreements. They no longer exist. That is George, Oudtshoorn, the Gardenroad, and Langeberg. But there are seven other councils in the Western Cape where we are still in coalition. So the agreement between the national leaders is that they want to take steps to stabilize the other seven current still coalitions, and they want to create a process where they want to see if they can revive the coalition agreements in the first four. My view has been right from the beginning, the problem is this, and there was an article and response in Sunday's press where Mr. Steenhuisen said, my call for arbitration is premature because he first wants to see if it can't be solved within the coalition agreements in the first four. You must understand the coalition agreements no longer exist in the first four. There are new governments governing and different parties are now in government. So you cannot call on the coalition agreement in the first four and hope to use that. It doesn't exist. And that's why we are saying, yes, let's use the coalition agreements in the other seven. But in the first four, the answer lies in independent arbitration. Let the parties put all the facts on the table. We are prepared to do so. We've got nothing to shy away. And we will accept the outcome. Let's see what happened in those four. We will all learn from that. And hopefully we can do that. But it seems that the DA is not willing to go for independent arbitration. And it remains my view that's the only way to solve those things. But in the meantime, we've got the government of local unity now in Oudtshoorn. And we intend to make a success of that.
How's it going with Peter Groenewald at the prisons department? For many people, it seemed like a hospital pass of note.
Well, I think it's going well. I think he's making a success at this stage. Obviously, it's early days. It's just in the beginning of the term. It's not even the first 100 days after the appointment. But obviously, he tackled the portfolio with vigor, and he's committed to do that and to make a success of that. And I think he will make a success of that. I think it suits his personality. I think it suits his style of leadership, etc. And it will play out positively. I think so. But as I've mentioned in the past, on a personal level, I'm not convinced that it will necessarily, in terms of our supporters, assist us in terms of the needs of our support base. It may set a good example of strong leadership. That is fine. But in terms of delivering to our own support base, it cannot deliver to our support base, unfortunately.
And overall, the government of national unity, we see the international stock markets are slowly warming to the idea. The rand, in fact, has improved by 2 rand against the US dollar from about 19.5 to 17.5 roughly at the moment. So there is South African bonds are being slowly accumulated. I guess the longer it continues, the more confidence people would have in it. But from where you are sitting with your insider view, is it stable?
Yes, I think it is stable. I think the people are getting down to do business and to do their work, and I think that it's moving forward. And I've said my philosophy has always been I believe in collective wisdom. I don't think that any one individual or any one party should claim to have all the answers and know everything. And that's exactly what we are seeing happening in the government of national unity. You suddenly now have inputs from different political parties, from different colleagues and ministers from different departments and portfolios and political parties. So I think that's very constructive. And I think an example is set that can also assist colleagues who in the past may have thought this is good enough. And now they may realize what I've been doing in the past is not good enough. I've got to step up. And looking from the public's perspective, I think the election result and the response from the public out there and the electorate was positive from the beginning. They want to see parties cooperate. They don't want to see parties fighting amongst each other. They don't want to see conflict. They don't want to have one party dominating and governing alone. And obviously, they want the bad ones from their perspective, being MK and the EFF, out of government. And I think that's exactly what the government of national unity has achieved up to this point. The president will have to indicate that he is able to give that leadership. And his first test, with all due respect, is now with the Minister of Justice. This whole thing that is around her now will need to be resolved. He's done it correctly, has given her an opportunity to explain that loan. And then, depending on what the outcome, he must act and set an example. And I hope that can be done. But international community, I think the markets out there are all optimistic and they want to give this thing a chance to succeed. But then again, we need everybody to buy into the concept, to embrace the concept of a government of unity. And we can not have situations where individuals go around and say, well, I just want to say this is not a government of national unity. This is a coalition, which is basically my little coalition. You cannot have that because it undermines the whole thing. And it may be good for your own individual party, but you're undermining the public and the government.
Just to close off with, perhaps with those parties that you mentioned who are involved in the government of national unity at a national level, they might have got a bit of a wake-up call with MK winning a by-election very readily yesterday in Rustenburg against the ANC, coming from 0 to 43%, which was enough to win that seat. Might that send some kind of a signal to the parties that are cooperating together at the national level?
I absolutely think it should, that if it doesn't, it should definitely be taken seriously, because I think there may be a thought that said, oh, well, MK caught us by surprise in the May election, etc., and it's just a temporary thing, it will go away. It may send a signal to the ANC to say, well, we don't have to take this government of national unity too seriously, because we will be able to, in 2029, get a majority on our own. This kind of result that we've seen in Northwest in Rustenburg, which is completely far away from the traditional Jacob Zuma base in KZN, clearly indicates to all of us that everything is not hunky-dory within the ANC. And I think the ANC understands that they may have many people in their structures, they still may have many people in their branches, in their councils, etc., councillors, who actually silently support Mr. Zuma, and that will play out when we come closer to 2026. And that only means that if we want to succeed and get this country on the right road and keep it there, we have to strengthen the governments of unity, be that on whatever level, where the good people come together and being forced to cooperate and turn things around. If you don't do that, we may end up with a Zimbabwe part two, and nobody wants that.
Fascinating politics in South Africa. This young democracy is growing up, but it's having plenty of growing pains along the way. Dr. Corne Mulder is the leader of the Freedom Front Plus in the Cape, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.